All right, so we'll go to Luke 5. If you have your Bible, Luke 5. If you don't have your Bible, the most of the scripture is on the handout. If you do have a Bible with you, turn to Luke chapter 5. What we do and what we've been doing in our adult Bible class each Sunday morning is our series Deeper. And what we do is we take the very same passage of scripture that we've been studying together in the main service, and we dive a little deeper into what that's teaching us. So some weeks we look at more doctrinal things. We talk about how there may be things that are historical or things that pertain to other passages of Scripture, and we dive a little bit deeper into that. We've done that several times. And then other times we spend more time making application to what we heard about. I will say that this lesson will be more the latter. We'll take a little bit more time applying these things to our lives, because the message that we heard was actually 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, we preached from Luke chapter 5. I preached a message on the first 11 verses, and the theme was launching out. We believe in launching out. And we talked about launching out by faith, and it really began our missions emphasis. And then we had our missionary guests last week, wonderful time. By the way, we're still doing our Faith Promise missions for 2018, so there's still cards. If you didn't get to fill out your Faith Promise last week, we're already at 720 committed per week. And there are several people that mentioned that they didn't get to have a part in it yet and plan to. So, Lord willing, that we may end up being even slightly higher than this past year, which would be a huge blessing. And so we're praying toward that and looking forward to it. But if you didn't get to complete a card, you can grab one either in your pew or out in the foyer if you'd like to have a part in that. All right, so there we had missions last week. And now today we're going to come back to Luke. And we'll be in Luke in this lesson as well as the message a little bit later on. So let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, who remembers when we see the lake Gennesaret, what lake is that, or it's better known as? Who knows what that lake is better known as? Yeah, the Sea of Galilee. And so Galilee refers to this whole region in the land of Israel, and Gennesaret is also a name of the lake. Bonus points. You excited? It's like the Daily Devil. Everybody, you excited about this? Bonus points now. What is the third name for the Sea of Galilee, the Lake Gennesaret, or also, I've got one hand up, but does anybody else have an idea what the third name, okay, I got two hands, all right? Does anybody else have an idea what the third name of this sea lake is? All right, we'll go to Mr. Thompson's first hand up. Yeah, the sea or the lake of Tiberias, named after one of the Roman rulers, Tiberias. So those are the three names. What's that? His city was on the lake too. Was that city, did it have a Hebrew name before that? It would have, but not sure what it was. So, okay, great. So Jesus is there by the lake. And remember, we're still early in looking at Jesus' ministry. He's been preaching, and he comes to the lake Gennesaret. And verse number 2, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now, who is Simon? He's known as the apostle who? Peter. This is the apostle Peter. His surname is Simon. Simon Peter. And prayed him. Jesus asked him if he would thrust out a little from the land. So they get in the boat and they pull the boat out from the shore just a little bit. Why are they doing that? So that the people don't, Jesus has become so popular by now that the people would just crowd around him and touch him, because there's miraculous healing power just in even touching him and being in his presence. So he gets in the boat and they thrust out a little ways from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. I always just think that's interesting. That was the method of teaching back then. So if that was how it was today, I would bring my chair up here. I would sit right down And you guys, you would all stand up and listen. I don't think anybody would vote for that change in tradition this morning. But that's what they would do whenever someone would speak. And often they might be gathered on a hillside or they're a little bit higher on the shore. So Jesus sits down in the boat and they stood there to listen to him, teach them and to preach the word of God. Now, verse number, continue in middle of verse number 3. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. What was Jesus' occupation by upbringing? Though we don't actually have any documentation of him performing this craft, though he most certainly would have, being raised in a home. You always inherited the occupation of your father. Jesus, by training and by apprenticeship, would have been a what? A carpenter. So, Simon, whose boat is he in? Well, it's his, but it actually belongs to his father, we learn from other scriptures. And his brother, who? Nope, that's him. Simon Peter and his brother, who? Andrew, his brother Andrew. So Simon and Andrew, who would both become disciples of the Lord. So by their training and their background, they are fishermen. And their father was a fisherman, and probably his father and his father and his father is long back. They're fishermen. And Jesus' training would have been in carpentry. So the disciples are a little, Peter is a little maybe annoyed by this. He says, Lord, we have toiled all the night and we haven't caught anything. But if you say so, it is you speaking after all, we'll go out. And so they go out. And they, when they had done this, verse number 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you'd help us as we think about what we've just read. I pray that it would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you turn into your notes and we begin our introduction here this morning, I'm not going to preach through the story. We did that a couple of weeks ago and we kind of put ourselves in the story with Peter and experienced the senses and what took place. So I'm not going to do that again. I want to zero in on some of the application that we brought out. And when you look at this passage, there's not really a lot of extra material to bring in here. This is a very simple and straightforward story. There's fishermen. They've fished all night. Jesus comes along, teaches the people, says, hey, I want to show you something. Go out and cast your nets again. And they go out and they're astonished at what the Lord does and the miracle that takes place. And there were several things we learned about us and our relationship to Jesus. And remember, whenever you're reading through the Gospels, and this is the reason we take an extra session to do this, whenever you're reading about Jesus, the point of this is to understand who Jesus is, but then to make application about how we in our lives relate to Jesus Christ. This passage is the first passage in Luke where we see up close and personal what group of people? The disciples, yeah, who would become the apostles. They started as the disciples of Jesus and he would make them his apostles. This is the first time as we've journeyed now over a month in Luke. This is the first time we've come face to face with the disciples of Christ. And the application for you and I is that the life of every believer is a life of discipleship. It's a life that begins by faith when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, but then throughout our life, there are moments in life where we, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, where Jesus comes to us and says, Dennis, or Russ, or Travis, I want you to take this step of faith. I want you to launch out. Launching out can be a big step. But in this story, did this start as a big step of faith or a small step of faith? What was that? Yeah, small step of faith. Very simple. Aren't you glad that as we walk with the Lord, He gives us small steps of faith? And just says, and it doesn't lay it all out on us. He just says, hey, trust me, follow me, walk with me. And so so why would you say this is a small step of faith? Well, because just row your boat out a little more. All I'm asking you to do is cast the net back in. But that small step of faith, when Jesus said launch out, would then in their lives, and when we end the story, it becomes a huge launching point of faith. How did that happen? What took place? Yeah. And how intense, so somebody else now, so how intense would that next step of faith by the end of the story be? What would it involve? What's going to happen? Yeah, a major life change. A huge life change. So what happens is the Lord asks them to take a small step of faith, but through that He leads them to take a greater step of faith. A huge step of faith that would change their lives. And that's why it's so important for us, for each of us, to respond when the Lord speaks to our heart about the small steps of faith in our lives. Right? Because what happens is the Lord speaks to our heart about something, and through the preaching of the Bible, it could be, or through our own devotional time at home, we read something in the Word of God, and we just sense in our heart that God is calling us to maybe just do something small. But there's fear sometimes, or there's uncertainty, so we put the brakes on. But when that takes place, what happens? It shuts down the work of God in our life. So there are some people that, well, if God called me to do this great thing or that great thing or to be this great person, sure, I would do that. I'd be willing to do that. But we never get to that point because we don't follow Him obediently in the small steps. But He speaks to our hearts to launch out. And the good thing is this, and let's go into this as we think about our discipleship. First of all, we talked about the fact that it's launching out by faith. Peter here had to exercise faith. He had to trust the Lord. Now, if I had walked up to Peter, or if you had walked up to Peter, and you had said to him, hey, fisherman, go out there and do it again. Where's your fish, fisherman? Well, we didn't catch anything. Well, you know what you need to do. You need to go back out there and try again. If I had said that to him, what would Peter's response be? What was that? Take a hike. Get out of here. Right? But why was Peter willing to obey? Because of what? Because why? Because of the person who's asking him. And so the application for us was this, that in our lives, it's not about a church asking us to take a step of faith. It's not about a pastor asking us to take a step of faith. It's not about parents asking their children to do different things. Each person has to have a walk with the Lord so that they can be confident. You know what? It's Jesus who's asking me to do this. It's the Lord who's asked me to do this. It's easy to say no when you hear the pastor preach if you think, well, that's just the preacher's opinion. That's easy to say no, right? Why? He might be a respected person, an honorable person, but does he have authority over our lives, or do I have authority over your life when I teach like this right now? Of course not. So if we think about this and say, well, this person's asking me, nothing. But if we stop and say, what is the Lord's will for my life? What is Jesus' will for my life? That changes everything, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's the second thing we're going to say, too. It's a reluctant faith, but it's nonetheless, it's obedient. The only reason he was obedient, though, and that actually makes the point. The only reason he was obedient was because it was Jesus who asked him to do it. Didn't make any sense to him. That's why if somebody else had asked him, no way, you're crazy. But because he knew it was the Word of God. That's why this place that we're in right now, this group that we're with, we are Bible believers, right? And that this is, we base our lives on the authority of the Word of God. We open the Scriptures and let God speak to us. Not a man, not a woman, but God Himself. And Jesus, why should we obey when Jesus speaks? This is such a broad question, but I want us to just think about it for a minute. Why should we obey when Jesus speaks? He's the Lord, the Creator. Why else? As we think about faith. He knows what's best for us. Not only does He know what's best for us, but He desires what is best for us. When you think about that, who He is, that He has a plan, He has a will, He has a purpose, it makes it easier to say, because I know the one who is asking me to take the step of faith, because I know Him, I can trust Him to take that step. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's true. That's absolutely true. If you don't know that, look up the story of Naaman the Syrian in your Bible sometime. So, because Jesus speaks, but now remember we said this. Another reason we've got to step out by faith is because we don't know what we don't know. Now, how did Peter demonstrate that he didn't know what he didn't know? How many of you are saying, what do you mean? We don't know what we don't know. What did Peter know all about? Fishing. He knew all about it. He knew what he knew about fishing. He was an expert, but he didn't know one thing about fishing. There was something about fishing. Peter thought he knew everything about fishing, but there was one thing about fishing that Peter didn't know, and not only did he not know it, he didn't know that he didn't know it. And what was that one thing about fishing that Peter didn't know? Yeah. That Jesus made the fish. That, how many of you ever went out in one of those boats where they have the fish finder? You know what I'm talking about there? You go out and it's got the sonar. Is it sonar that does that? And they find the fish and they'll take the boat to the fish. Well, Jesus didn't need a fish finder. Jesus, the fish found him. They knew where to come because when Jesus speaks, the fish would obey him. Get in that net. So Peter doesn't know what he doesn't know. How about you and I? Do we feel like sometimes we have life figured out? Maybe not entirely, but there are things that we think we have a handle on. I understand my finances. I understand my career choices. I understand my family. But sometimes our biggest enemy, of the biggest defeater of God doing something in our lives, is that we don't know what we don't know. And that there are things that God wants to show us that there is no human way possible that we could experience.
Jesus was asking him to do what was contrary to what he knew.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was asking him to do something in addition to what he knew. He was asking him to go against what he knew. Not only had he already been fishing, but when had he been fishing? At night. Because when did their experience teach them to do their fishing? At night. But now it's the daytime. Go back out. I'm sure he didn't feel like it because he's tired. He'd been up all night. Just sat through a sermon. And now it's time to go out again. So what holds us back sometimes is that we don't know what we don't know. But if we're willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt us, that He might lift us up. And there's got to be a humility in our lives that says, Lord, I'm willing to listen because I don't know. And not only do I not know, but there are probably things that I don't even know that I don't know about. And only You can show that to me. So we launch out by faith. And then secondly, we talked about launching out into abundance. Right? So he goes out. It would have been a miracle. It would have been a miracle if they had went out and they had a mediocre draft of fish, right? That would have been a miracle. If they went out, contrary to everything they thought, they went out, they threw their net in. Oh, nice little pile of fish. This worked really well. Let's go back. But when we take a step of faith, God doesn't show himself to us. God doesn't want to show himself to us in ordinary ways. He lavishes his grace on us abundantly. And so they go out, and not only do they receive this gift of grace and miracle from the Lord, their needs are met when they live by faith, but beyond their needs are met. More abundantly are their needs met. It's incredible. Anybody have a time in their life, can think of a time in their life where they were surprised at the blessing of God after they took a step of faith? I mean, it might be something you'd need to think of a little bit more before you could share it with us. But if you have something in your life, can you think of a time when you said, you know what, I'm going to just obey. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm going to take this small step, and then God just surprised you with what he did. I told the story that Sunday about the shoes. Mrs. Ryder asked me to tell the story about the shoes. Now, I had prayed to God for a pair of shoes, never told anyone. And one day, I was in college, and the man in the church I worked at showed up with that pair of shoes. And God just does things like that in our lives to show us, hey, just take this step of faith, and I'll lead you into a greater and more abundant place. He always meets our needs. He always provides more than we need. But now I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about this last part. When Peter's over, or second to last part, but when Peter's overcome, when Peter, and this is an early, these are beginning, what I like about this is these are beginning steps of discipleship. This is early on in Peter's walk with Jesus. And the great application here is for every Christian. Whether you've been a believer in Christ for years, sometimes we just need to enter back into the beginning stages of our walk with him. Or if you're a brand new Christian or a young Christian, this is how it begins. We step out by faith. The Lord blesses us abundantly, and that doesn't necessarily mean riches and houses and cars, but there's a overwhelming satisfaction in having a relationship and knowing him, despite the circumstances. But then here, we launch out into acceptance. As soon as Peter sees the miracle that Jesus did, what's Peter's immediate reaction? How would you describe that? He's ashamed. Humiliated, embarrassed, inadequate. And so now, what is Jesus' plan now for Peter's life? I'm gonna use you. I've got a plan for you. But first, Peter's been broken. And first, Peter's been brought low. And Peter thinks, you could never use me. In fact, not only could you never use me, but you shouldn't even be around me. You shouldn't even, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I have met Christians, and we've experienced in each of our lives times where we feel inadequate, for the Lord to use us. Do we not? What are things that hold people back from fully committing to him? What are some things where people would identify with Peter here? What do you mean? Go back to? Okay. So weaknesses of our sinful nature. Right? So I'm asking, what are some things that where people say, I'm just inadequate, the Lord could not use me? What was that? Okay. She said, if you couldn't hear, Bible smarts. Like, I don't know a whole lot. Or, I have this habit in my life. Or, yeah, that's where I was going to go next, exactly. Or, but you don't know, I was a drug addict. Not me personally, but I'm telling you, know what I'm saying? But if I were, and the Lord had saved me from that, There'd be no, I'd have no shame. Jesus would have taken that shame and washed it away, praise God. You say, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not important enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough nice clothes. Like she said, I can't do that. I couldn't be that. Somebody says, well, I don't have a perfect family. People that find themselves, people say, I've been divorced, or I'm a single parent, or I've done this, I've been here, I've gone this place, I've done that. I mean, I'm glad I'm saved, but Lord, you sure couldn't use me for anything. Exactly. Well, what if we allow that, who's feeding that message of inadequacy to us? Is Jesus feeding us that message of inadequacy? No, where does that come from? It comes from the devil. The Lord, actually, when we're humble like that, is when the Lord can use us the most. We can't let our past or our qualifications or lack of qualifications define how God's going to use us in our lives. Right? Look at the verse on your notes there, that he has a plan despite our inadequacies. 1 Corinthians 1, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, that means the very, very low things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, look at this. That no what? Flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, God wants to use us, but he only wants us to use us in a way that he gets the glory and we do not. So listen, if you feel inadequate, if you feel underqualified, if you feel incapable, you've got the perfect resume to be a champion for the cause of Christ. You're hired, so to speak. Sign up, because that's a person that God can use. God doesn't call, have you ever heard this? God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And that's what he's going to do in Peter's life. Peter's a fisherman, not the prestigious job of the day. Not only is he a fisherman, he's got a fisherman with a bad temper. He's a fisherman, rather, with a bad temper and a big mouth. Not real educated, not a lot of self-control. And he always thinks, and he's kind of prideful too, because he always thinks he can handle more than he can. But God's plan is to humble Peter and then to use him. To use him as a great apostle with a plan, with a purpose for his life. So when you come with that broken resume, that's somebody that God can use. That's somebody God can qualify. Look at the end of the passage in 1 Corinthians, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth. If you're going to brag, so to speak, let him glory in the Lord. What a testimony that this is who I was, but this is how the Lord is using me. Turn over now and we'll finish on the back page. But there is one requirement. It begins with simple faith, but there is a requirement of us. Now, when a person, the glory of the beauty of the Christian life is that God doesn't ask anything of us to be saved. except to believe in him. But he doesn't save us for ourselves. He saves us for his glory. He saves us for a purpose. He wants to change us. But there's sometimes a disconnect in a Christian's life, and it can happen at different moments. We're living by faith, we're growing in the Lord, but then there come moments, crucial moments, where God says, now my purpose for you is to let go of what you want to live for and to now live for me. And that's the call of discipleship. Every believer makes choices throughout his life. Will I commit? Will I be committed? Now, we don't gain any standing before God by being more or less committed. He saves us for free by his grace. But he gets maximum glory through our willingness to commit to him. And we experience the fullness of our walk with him through our commitment. What is the commitment that Peter now has to decide if he's going to take? To leave his fishing behind and to walk with Jesus. Peter says, I'm so unworthy. Jesus says, no way, you're not unworthy. I want you to come with me. I want you to follow me. From now on, you're not going to catch fish, you're going to fish for men. Your business will be souls for the kingdom of God. Your life will be about advancing my kingdom and my glory. Listen, whether it be occupationally, like a pastor or missionary or preacher, or it be through your vocation, every Christian's purpose is the same. And that is, from henceforth, you shall catch men. Each of us, regardless of our occupation, the life that we've been called to is the life of service for Jesus Christ. Some do it vocationally as professional ministers. But each of us are called to full-time Christian service, to live a life of discipleship. But it involves letting go. Everything that Peter identified with, I mean, the whole identity of his life was wrapped up in those boats and those nets. And Peter would have to say, you know what? That's not what I'm about anymore. I'm about following the Lord. So what we're challenged to think about is, what is it that God might be asking us to let go of? What is it, as you're like, man, that all sounds great, that I can step out by faith and God will bless me with abundance and he will accept me for who I am and he will use me and change me. That sounds wonderful. But you can put the brakes on that whole process. You can slam the brakes on that by saying no to the commitment that he's calling you to. And it's going to be different for each and every one of us and different at different times of our life. For some of us, it may have been in our Faith Promise Missions Conference, where God says, he's calling us, make a commitment. We don't obey. The brakes come on. And sometimes it might be in our families. You need to commit your family. We need to commit your marriage. Commit your child raising to the Lord. And we say, yeah, but this event or this activity is more important. We put the brakes on it. Yes, launching out by faith is a wonderful, wonderful experience. But what happens is, Peter could have been, those nets, he could have actually been all wrapped up and caught in those nets. And some of us, sometimes it's like we're tethered to something. And so we think, you know what? I'm going to launch out. And just like a dog on a collar, I had some dumb dogs growing up sometimes. Anybody seen dogs that weren't too smart? And I had a dog that I loved, but he just never could figure out sometimes that that collar was attached to the doghouse, and he couldn't get any further than that. And he'd just take off, boom! he's stuck there. He just couldn't figure that one out. But sometimes as Christians, we've got something that we're chained to. We think it's, and we think it's something great. And we had, the Lord speaks to our heart, and we in a church service, or we're like, yeah, launch out by faith. Here I go. But we've never pulled up the anchor or took the stake out of the ground. And so we get a little bit, we get this far in our Christian life, And we will never get further. We will never get past whatever it is that we're hanging on to the most. That's why Jesus said, the most important commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy mind, with all your soul. And make him the one you're anchored to, that you're fixed to. It's going to involve letting go and redefining the issues of our lives. That's true discipleship. Redefining what my purpose is, what my values are, and who my master is. It's an exciting life to launch out by faith. Will you take the step of faith? Will you make the commitment? That's the application. Let's look to the Lord and ask his blessing on the rest of our service today. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the Bible and how it speaks to us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to, each of us, to examine our lives regularly, to see where you're leading us and how you're directing us. And help us, Lord, to let go of those things that hold us back. I pray that for those that their past may be holding them back and their inadequacy, help them to know that you have love, acceptance, and power for them. Lord, now we pray that you'd bless our worship service in just a few minutes. Draw our hearts close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.